Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And again, we are proud to be delivering original interviews with Atlanta business leaders every day. And this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, I have Gene Kansas, and he is with an organization called Constellations. Welcome, Gene.
Lee, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us a little bit about Constellations. How are you serving people with that community?
Absolutely. So Constellations is a culturally based workspace in the Sweet Auburn Historic District. So, you know, birthplace of the civil rights movement, of Martin Luther King. It's a neighborhood and a community that's really, you know, been a leader in care. It's been a leader in thought and in obviously civil and human rights. Constellations is a place that is in a 1910 building. It was designed by Neil Reed, who was a famous Atlanta architect. And we had the opportunity to reimagine it as this workspace. What we really are, though, is this platform where we help support the goals and missions and dreams of the folks who are there. And that constitutes about 20 different companies, and they're all looking to make a positive difference in the world.
Now, it sounds like it sounds, I don't know if it is this, but it maybe it rhymes with this, but a co-working space. Do you consider this a co-working space?
You know, co-working is one of those words that I think is a catch-all. This is a space that does have many different businesses and has shared common areas and, you know, therefore shared expenses, which is helpful. We don't offer co-working, though. And we, a couple of years ago, when we were starting the business, and actually it's almost our 2-year anniversary. So tomorrow, 2 years ago, we opened our doors and we had decided that it was going to be private office. And as it turns out, that was a good decision, especially these days.
So now, is there an opportunity within those private businesses to collaborate? Do you do things to kind of bring them together? Or is it just a bunch of people going into their separate kind of spaces, doing their thing and then leaving?
Yeah, so Constellations is really this ecosystem. And it's based around like-mindedness, you know, people who are, let's say, engaged, professional, interested in making a difference in culture, in, you know, some type of civic or social mission. And so by the nature of the folks who are here, that does happen. You know, we had this idea that Constellations would be this place where stars come together and shine. And when stars come together, you have a picture, and pictures tell stories, and our story's the big picture. The funny thing and the wonderfully happy thing is that it actually works. And so as an example, the National Trust for Historic Preservation is a tenant at Constellations. Well, for those of you who know the Sweet Auburn Historic District, it's rich in history. It's also been named a place in peril twice by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, an endangered place also, and in terms of the prospective loss of buildings. And so it was important for us to have an organization like the National Trust, which is based out of Washington, D.C. They're the country's leading preservation advocacy organization, to be here. We've paired up with them to do programming. They have paired up with others like there's a group here called Refuge Coffee that is our coffee provider. You might know them from Clarkston. Mm-hmm. Really, their interest is in leadership development and job training for the refugee and immigrant community. You put those together with a group like Proper, which is a design firm, and come together and really can start to make some type of visible difference in the community. That's just an example. There are plenty, and they're happening on a fairly regular basis.
Now, do you find in your work that when cities invest in history and the bones and foundation of their cities and kind of incorporate them in the landscape, that that the people who live there and work there have a more richer kind of experience, and it ties deeper to the city as opposed to some areas where, you know, they want to destroy anything that's old and then put something shiny and new in its place?
Well, that's a softball pitch for me, Lee. I actually wrote an op-ed in AJC a number of years ago about the importance of building up our history instead of building over it. I think it's important, you know, to answer your question, for the people who work in the spaces and how it makes, you know, us feel. I also think it's equally, if not more important, for, you know, that ability to demonstrate what's possible in preservation to the broader community, because, you know, at the end of the day, this is all of ours. You know, my philosophy about real estate is, if you're on the planet, you're in real estate. We're all sharing this earth. You know, this is brought into high attention and high focus these days with coronavirus. And it's important to be caring, to be considerate of neighbors. And it's important to know our history so that we can understand where we are and chart, you know, a path forward. So to have the historic buildings and really the history and culture that surrounds them provides a compass in many ways. It's also attractive. There's this adage that buildings are not good because they're old. They're old because they're good. You know, historic preservation is big in terms of job creation. It's great for, you know, basically sustainability. You're not having to tear it down, throw it away. And they're pretty. If you look at the neighborhoods in Atlanta that are quite popular at the moment, you know, there are areas like in Inman Park. You know, this was an area that would have been turned into an interstate, but for leadership and grassroots leadership at that in that neighborhood to prevent it. And, you know, Inman Park basically was a place that no one wanted to go develop. And as a result, it gave the neighborhood time to get, I guess, measures in place to help protect it. And it's really a whole historic district. Same with Virginia Highland. And so those neighborhoods become popular, I think, as a result.
Now, if you go across the country, you see some cities are known and their architecture and their buildings are just part of the DNA, like a New Orleans or Chicago. And Atlanta has some of those elements, but it just seems like it's conflicted, because on one side you have historic buildings that are celebrated and, you know, tours are happening. People are flocking to live in that, in those neighborhoods. And then you have other areas, it could be a few blocks away, where everything's torn down and there's, you know, a huge glass monolith in its place. So do you see the city struggling kind of with its identity in this regard?
I think it has been for, you know, a long time. And part of Atlanta's identity is progress. And that's great. You know, I'm a commercial real estate developer. I mean, we focus on the, you know, cultural and community and creative side of that. I am pro-development, though, and I think when it's done in a responsible fashion, with consideration, with true, you know, intent of design and design review, it can be done well. I mean, you can look at 725 Ponce on the Beltline, a new city project by Jim Irwin. I think that that would be a great example of new development fitting in well on the Beltline across from Ponce City Market. You know, there's other things like, you know, just the rash of throw it up as quickly as possible multifamily buildings that are a bigger problem. But in terms of the identity of Atlanta, there's some great initiatives underway right now, one from the Atlanta Urban Design Commission and Doug Young, who runs that, to really fully understand the identity of Atlanta and to help put preservation protocols in place to support and celebrate it. I think that Tim Keene, the Atlanta Planning Commissioner, did a great job with the book about Atlanta that really served as this this guide for what the city's future would look like, in cooperation with Ryan Gravel, who created the Beltline. So there's definitely a lot of people who are doing a good job. I do think we still have a good ways to go.
Now, speaking about your work downtown, how important is Georgia State University when it comes to creating that kind of environment that draws people down there?
I think it's quite important. I mean, I enjoy being around the energy of education. You know, there's a bright, hopeful cheer that's in the air typically, except for maybe around exam time. But, you know, you're talking about well over 100-year-old university. There are 50,000+ students, about 35,000-37,000 downtown. So it adds to this, you know, street presence. And it also, I think, just has done a great job in, and I would say almost single-handedly revitalizing or starting the revitalization of downtown. When we were buying properties here, we also did the historic preservation of the Atlanta Daily World building a few doors down from Constellations, which is a historic site in journalism. This is right around the time that the streetcar was being put in, and people were asking me, are you buying, you know, here because of the streetcar? I think the streetcar is a bonus, and we can go into that in part because I have this nostalgia for streetcars growing up in New Orleans. The real answer, though, about investing here is the history of the district itself and Georgia State University. I think investing in real estate around anchors that are not going anywhere is really important. Again, like, you know, talking about this time in all of our lives, you know, in evolution, we either adapt to the specific environment we find ourselves in, or we become dinosaurs. And unfortunately, we're going to see a lot of dinosaurs out there. You know, a university that is incredibly large, state university, it will also adapt, but it's not going anywhere. And I think that that's important. It's also a signal of strength and establishment that I think goes a long way. Not to mention, it's an incredible university.
Yeah, it's definitely on the upswing. It's doing amazing things. And I think that their vision for that area, it seems like it keeps expanding and bringing more opportunity along with it.
Yeah, here's a fun little story. So two of the leaders at Constellations, a woman named Jasmine Salazar, who's our community coordinator, her job's to really make sure that everyone is happy and healthy and having a nice time, is a graduate of the Andrew Young School at Georgia State. Ted Bradford, who's a partner at Constellations and a director of operations, received his master's from the Andrew Young School. Well, I mentioned earlier that Constellations is involved in a lot of cultural programming. We had both Stacey Abrams and Ambassador Young in our North Star Library a number of months back filming a documentary. And I think it was just so wonderful that, you know, Georgia State is completely surrounding us. Here are, you know, these leaders, and literally one of them who the school is named after, coming to a place that two of the students from Georgia State helped create. It's a nice story.
Yeah, it's an amazing, you get to see kind of the, like you said earlier, the evolution of how something can begin and grow and just keep growing as long as people are committed and still believe, which it seems like that's the case. And people like you that are willing to invest in the past to make a better future.
Yeah, thanks. You know, we're having to also, you know, evolve ourselves and continue to invest. We've invested a lot in relationships. So, you know, when the mayor issued a stay-at-home order, no one was coming in, and we fully supported that. we continue to have Refuge Coffee, who I mentioned earlier, continue in terms of like having daily coffee just when no one was coming in. But we paid for it anyway for this entire month of April, because it's important to support those. You know, it seems obvious, like take care of those who take care of you. You have to do it. We've kept our janitorial company coming, even though there's been like two people at Constellations for the month of April. And when everyone comes back, they're going to find this place that's continued to be cared for in those ways. We've also hired a healthy design consultant who happens to be at Constellations named Matt Finn with Cognitive Design. And we've really imparted a lot of the insights and recommendations that he's given about what does a healthy workspace mean. So things like sensor faucets and touchless soap dispensers and more plants and improved purification systems and walking paths. And, you know, I think we all have to continue to invest and evolve. Otherwise, you know, we too will become a dinosaur. And I'm not interested in becoming a dinosaur. It's a creative challenge. It's a hard time for so many, but also this can be a great time with a lot of silver linings. And one of those for me personally and us is how do we, you know, really think through, get engaged, be creative, and try to demonstrate how much we care and to demonstrate what's possible.
Right. And to keep serving. And that's an important. Now for you, what are some things we can do to help you? What can we do to help you grow, and what do you need?
Well, thank you. It's a very kind question and gesture. You know, maybe what we can do is have you come over to Constellations when the sky's clear, so to speak, and do a couple of broadcasts from our studio. We primarily have a studio for the purposes of original content creation and oral history. I think what you do is a wonderful addition to our city, and frankly, a wonderful service, you know, letting people share their story, letting us as listeners enjoy those stories. So maybe it can be, you know, kind of a nice little visit together would mean a lot to us.
Well, we're happy to do it. We come down there when in normal times at Georgia State. We do the Georgia State University's Entrepreneur and Innovation Institute's radio. So we come down once a month downtown. My son is about to graduate from Georgia State, so I have a incentive to go down there to run into him occasionally. But yeah, we're
What's
happy
he
to
studying?
Communications.
Good.
Yeah, he sees what I'm doing and says, yeah, that doesn't look so hard. I think I can do that. So
that's cool. It must feel good. I have a 5.5-year-old. He's seeing what we're doing and then turning right back to the Legos.
Well, you're kind of in the Lego business in some ways. So it ties in. So
that's true.
If somebody wanted to learn more about Constellations, is there a website?
Yes, it's constellations.community. And we actually are launching the new and improved site, apropos of these days, tomorrow, May 1st, May Day. And, you know, just expanding really on the mission. And, you know, we've been about this coming together for, you know, creating connections and purpose in our work and community, and the expanded mission is about health and happiness and respect and care, and you'll see that on the website. So if you visit, you know, tomorrow and anytime in the future, you'll see that at constellations.community. Please come check us out.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And once again, thanks to our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be doing the work we're doing. See you all next time.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.